Martin Tapia, PAC number 068299.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir. Could you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Martino Tapia, 068299.
Thank you, sir. You're planning for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your community supervision revocation. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Louis Canonas, the Honorable Dr. C. T. Wright, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal. I'll be your hearing lead. Also in the room with us today, we have the Honorable Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he will also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you're notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Is you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself.
At this time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases today, sir. In phase one, you will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your board. And after I read it, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. So August number one's violation of the Board of Condition of Supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to file the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report the South Mountain Parole Office, SMPO, 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, for your scheduled face-to-face contact visit on about October 22, 2018, as verbally directed on October 15, 2018, by Parole Officer Herrera. You were actively avoiding supervision, thus you were absconded from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
It's kind of complicated, but it's not over too difficult. I lost contact.
Okay, sir, in phase two, you'll have ample time to explain it.
Okay.
So I just at this point in time, is it true or false?
True.
Okay. So based on the admissions of Mr. Tapia, I am going to find him to inform as he violated the terms of discipline and supervision and that he may have lapsed or without the lapse in the criminal areas or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by the Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Jones, and Mr. Canonis. Okay, sir, you're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we do, stand by there. Mr. Westby's going to give us some background information, and I'll get right back to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westby.
Mr. Tapia was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections on October 15th, 2018. He was arrested November 9th, 2018 by Phoenix PD, no new charges. He was back in DOC custody on November 9th, 2018, with an adjusted community supervision end date of August 30th, 2019, with 18 abscondes. First conviction, 2015, dangerous drug violation, 4.5 years. Prior convictions, 1988, murder, second degree, 15 years. 2004, burglary, second degree, 3.5 years. 2010, misconduct involving weapons, 3 years. This is his fourth term in DOC, CUIR score 3.3, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. STG and information notes, he's an admitted member of the Southside Green Aquarius, Criminal Street Gang, and River Bottom Locos. Prior terms of supervision, 2006, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. 2011, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs noted. Other arrest, 1987, theft, Arizona, guilty, other sanction. 2009, assault with certain intent, Arizona, guilty, other sanction. 2012, theft, Arizona, guilty, other sanction. 2012, criminal damage, Arizona, guilty under sanction. 2013, shoplifting, Arizona, guilty under sanction. 2013, criminal damage, guilty under sanction. 2014, criminal trespass, first degree, Arizona, guilty under sanction. 2014, shoplifting, Arizona, guilty under sanction. His community risk score is a G5B6.
Thanks, sir. So, Mr. Kathy, we're going to go over a summary of the case supervision.
Yes, sir.
And seeing that for your residence, you were released on October 15th, and you were approved for 1819 East Warner Street in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes.
So, were you staying there when you absconded, or did you go somewhere else?
Honestly, I was trying to go somewhere else. I was having a lot of problems with trying to get a hold of my PO at first because I didn't have a cell phone, and the people I was staying with, well, they don't have nothing. They didn't have gas there, they didn't have electricity, a refrigerator, or a stove for that matter, so it became an issue real quick, plus they were getting high. I was trying to play it cool, I was trying to get dirty, so I wasn't using, you know, I'm still clean to this day. It was just beginning to be a problem there.
Okay. So, did you have any employment while you're out, sir?
Yes, I just recently have been given a little job. It's not quite a free job, but it's a little job. I had a job with, I still didn't have my job with my cousin's husband. It's ornamental fencing, and this can be verified through my cousin's boyfriend and his boss. I called Mr. Hayes and let him know on the phone that I got a job and it was hard for me to go to his office. Because he started real early, like at 4:30, almost 5, his office ain't open yet. And then by the time I got home, it was already like 6:30. So it was kind of a messed up place I was at. I was trying to keep cool and get a job and pay on it, but the hours were just kind of weird. Like, I didn't have no way of getting up there at times.
So how many times did you contact your PO about the difficulty getting to see him?
I called him a couple of times. This can be checked on the phone records. My phone number is there. But I called Mr. Hayes, because I called Mr. Hayes' number. I called to the office, left a message, and then I called again to his cell phone, and he never responded. I never got a call back from him. And I told him on the phone, I'm having issues here, and he said, I don't like this place. But I also told him I had no transportation in the way of getting up there. I have problems with my feet. They get a little swollen, you know, because they think I'm diabetic. So it was hard for me to try to walk up into his office. I wouldn't have made it anyway. But I did call him. That's on record.
How many messages did you leave?
A couple, I don't know, 5, 4, 5.
Okay, did you call the main number for that office?
Yes, sir. I called that office right there.
Officer and talk to him?
No one answered me at the time when I called. They had a machine. I just left messages.
Okay.
Just a little bit before they arrested me. They picked me up anyway.
Okay, hang on a second. Mr. Westby, is there a little one?
I'm reviewing the phone notes and I'm not seeing any notes that there was any received phone call from Mr. Tapia. I'm only seeing a phone note on October 23rd. Which was after his scheduled report date, that Officer Hayes attempted contact via phone in regards to his missed report date. And the phone went to voicemail. He left a message directing him to come in. So but there was no conversation, nor it states that there was any return call from Mr. Tapia.
Would if he left a message on the main line, would somebody would pick that up and make a call or about
yes,
that?
We have duty officers and all of them, even if everybody rotates as far as taking turns at regarding people. If say his assigned parole officer is out sick or on vacation or at training or out in the field, what have you, and there's no notes that any other officer put in here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, sir. I see that you were assigned a task.
Yes, sir.
And, but you were scanned before there were any tests done. Were you saying you're clean?
Yes, sir. I've been clean ever since. I've been clean since 2000 when I got arrested for this crime. I've been an active member of the church over there in Sebola. I was in the GED classes. I was learning from there. And then I got a chance to go to the Second Chance program over there in Buckeye. And I completed that program. But like I said, my problem started when I got to the place I was supposed to be at. Other than that, I really had no other issues other than that I had a ride. I didn't have a phone. When my brother and his wife got me a phone finally. And that's the phone that I used to call Mr. Reyes or to the office there. I know there's records of that because I have my phone number right here. There has to be some kind of record.
Okay. All right. Well, you were not going along.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to see if I have a little bit of questions this time. Okay, sir, we're nearing the end of your hearing, but we'll be going into a discussion to make a determination shortly. But before we do, I'll give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else that you think might be important for the hearing. We just asked you to jump and repeat the information we've already covered. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us, sir?
Aside from the job, the only thing I could say is I did have a phone finally. My brother's wife got that for me. If my phone calls are checked by my phone, I have the number here. You guys would have been able to see that. I did call the office. I called several times over there. I know I did. And then there's got to be a record of it. Starting my supervision, like I said, doesn't have a phone, and this can be easily checked. My brother's from St. John. They can check with him. He's a good man. He's never been arrested, really, so he wouldn't bullshit you or lie to you. It was just an issue of the place where I was at. No, yeah, that's the reason that I called him. I was having issues there. You know, I'm also an SMI inmate. I take medication. Sometimes my mind ain't clear when I don't take my meds, and I misplace my medication somewhere. So I was back, but you know, I was losing track of what the hell I was doing. But other than that, I mean, I like to be reinstated, sure. But the 8 months that I got left, I got no problem doing that either, to be honest with you. You know, but I'd rather go home, you know, and start over. I just needed a different place. I just needed a different place to be, not that same one that they gave me. That wasn't a good place to go to. And I didn't realize that until I finally got there. I haven't been dirty. They haven't raped me at all. I wasn't doing no drugs. So other than that, you know, I was there. I called him from my neighborhood where I was at. That's the only thing I can really tell you.
Okay, sir, we're going to be going into a discussion to make a decision. We ask that you stay on the phone and just remain silent. You can hear the entire conversation as it happens. And once we make a determination, I'll be back with you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Mr. Tapia, it sounds like he was making some effort, but, you know, it was only, I think, the total amount of time that he was out until he was arrested. It was only about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. But it seems he has had issues in the past with community supervision, violation when he gets arrested for, and then revoked. I understand it would be frustrating if you don't get somebody on the phone, but if you, my thought and the way the rules are, that you then keep left messages called a lot until they actually talk to somebody, whether it be a duty officer or an NPO. It just seems that he didn't make quite that effort. And with this past history on community supervision, I don't think it's a good candidate for return at this time, but I'm going to listen to discussions from my fellow board members. I agree. Excuse me. Okay, so based on all the information, we're on 2018W3. one with a copy of his testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections. I'm going to move to the supervision of Mr. Capiozzi with the Lakeland violated term of condition of the supervision had lapse or about lapse of the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Quinn. Yes, Mr. Canoes. Read it out, right? Mr. Johnson, Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time, and you said you have about 6 months left. I understand what you're talking about as far as having drug readily available makes it a lot tougher to stay clean. I understand that completely. But you don't seem to be able to follow all the conditions of community supervision. I would suggest that you make a good plan so when you get out in August that you can head yourself in the right direction, get to work, become productive, and not go foul of the law anymore. You won't have to be back in here in the orange t-shirt. So we do wish you the best of luck, sir. This will end your hearing, and would you put the next person on, please?
Thank you.